We bless you, Father. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, I'm reminded that this is the first song we sang right here on the 15th of April. When we first stepped into this building, we sang of your faithfulness. That then was the beginning. There is a history, there is a destiny to be accomplished. Lord, today, we draw from your faithfulness. We say, God, be God. Be God in this, your church. Be God for every family, for every partner. Manifest your faithfulness and let that which stands against your word be brought to naught permanently, that your people may celebrate with thanksgiving the goodness of the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Rabba Shandele Berkoso Kotabala Koshetima. It's so easy to believe a lie. That strength is a result of resistance. Yeah, it is a truth, but it's not all the truth. The Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is easy to believe, not because there is no truth to it, that your enemies make you who you are. That's the truth. There's no doubt about that. Where will there be a David without a Goliath? That's true. But what evil are you going to be resisting for eternity when you're in the presence of God? That's the greater truth. You don't need an enemy to be great. You need God to be great. It is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And so my expectation today, tomorrow, or at any time must not be that there has to be the presence of evil for me to recognize the good. All God wants for me is his good. Let's have that reset. I don't need miracles to know that there is a God. I just need to live the fullness of life. Yeah. You know, miracles became necessary because of sin. Healing became necessary because of sin. Resurrection from the dead became necessary because of sin. But in the absence of sin, there is everlasting peace, joy, goodness, all of the wonderment that comes out of the very essence of who God is. That's what God says, I want you to live in the earth like heaven. Heaven in the earth. I need to rethink, and that's partly what repentance is all about. It's about rethinking it. Having a new thought. A new thought that says that God is altogether good, and therefore all I need in my life is the goodness of God. Yes, we live in a fallen world. But Jesus came to turn it around. Our Lord came to turn it around for you and I. Blessed be the name of the living God. Tonight, I want to continue with the subject of destiny helpers and blockers. We've not gotten to switchers. Maybe the Lord will let us get there. But today, I want to address the judgment, the befitting judgment that comes upon destiny blockers when you apply it. Let me say up front, this is not a fun message. And if you don't have context, this might be such a message that will get you all wound up. Because it doesn't sound like a Christian prayer. It doesn't sound like what a godly person should pray. But how many of you know that all Scripture has been inspired by God? And so if it is in the Scripture, God permitted it to be there for a reason. And the person praying this prayer, the prayer was prayed for a particular purpose. Because you see, child of God, your destiny is very important. Your destiny, that's part of your purpose. That's part of your reason for existence. That's why God sent you here to this planet called Earth. He sent you here to accomplish certain things. And you accomplishing those things bring fulfillment and purpose and the accomplishment of destiny for other people. For example, let me put it this way. If you were called to be a doctor, a surgeon, an optometrist, whatever it is that you've been called to, if you don't fulfill that purpose, you don't study, you don't go to school because somebody blocked you and there was no finances to support you and all the helpers that you need to help you get to the place where you're supposed to get to, you don't get there, but you ended up becoming a taxi driver. Not to say that a taxi driver is not a person of destiny. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, somebody else has an issue with their eyes, with their kidneys, with their whatever, and you were supposed to be that person raised up to help resolve that situation. But you are not there. What happens to that person? That person dies because you did not fulfill your destiny. Every person needs to understand that their role in life is an important one. The man that was destined to haul off the garbage, he is very important because if he doesn't do it, guess what happens? We've got bacteria and germs and everything, rubbish all over the place, and people are poisoned by whatever it is that's coming and oozing out of all of that garbage, and now lives are destroyed. Your purpose and your destiny is not just for you. It is about other people around you. Get that? And therefore, the plan of the enemy is to make sure that people are not where they belong. They are not doing what they are called to do. People are stopped from fulfilling their mandate. And because they are stopped from fulfilling their mandate, what they are called to accomplish is disrupted. More lights. Child of God, Tonight, I want to address that issue. This may be my first and last time. I don't know. But I need to address it right now. And why? Because that's where God is at right this very moment as it relates to you. I sense it deep within my spirit that God is fed up with certain things. And he is not going to allow destinies to be thwarted, destinies to be delayed, destinies to be destroyed. Everything has timing. 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 There's a time for everything. And when timing is disrupted, destinies are disrupted. And tonight I declare over your life that God will do extraordinary things and that your destiny will be fulfilled, your purpose, the reason for you, the reason God established you, the reason God released you into this earth, that you will fulfill that destiny and accomplish it speedily to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and for the benefit of all mankind everywhere. Destiny. Today you are able to watch me by streaming right this very moment because somebody fulfilled their destiny. That's right. I was able to come here with great ease because I drove down here to the church because somebody fulfilled their destiny. I'm able to wear proper clothing because somebody fulfilled their destiny. Can you imagine if the person who's called to fulfill that destiny did not fulfill it? I will be miserable. I will be tired walking all the way from my house just to get here. Today I'm not walking. Because somebody fulfilled their destiny. Today I'm properly clothed because somebody fulfilled their destiny. And so shall you fulfill yours. Now, the Word of God tells us that Nehemiah was trying to build a wall. He had moved from one level of destiny to the other. He was a cupbearer for Artaxerxes. But God's real purpose for him being there was so that he can build the wall of Jerusalem. And at the fullness of time, he was troubled within himself. And sometimes you can come to a place of dissatisfaction inside of you. That is a sign that God wants to bring about something fresh, something new. And so he was disturbed and he asked for something that seemed out of place at the time, but because he was a son of destiny, he fulfilled that mandate. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2 that there were some resistance, destiny blockers that did not want him to fulfill his divine mandate. And so in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, if you can have that up. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning to read from verse 2. Nehemiah 4 and verse 2, it says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, this is the enemy speaking, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Are they going to fortify themselves? Are they going to sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, that's Sanballat, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, Nehemiah says, for we are despised. This is one of the weapons that the enemy uses to block your destiny. He despises whatever it is that you are doing and says to you, it won't work. It's not good enough. It's an impossible situation to address. And the man of God says, God, see what they're saying. We are despised. And turn, he says, and turn their reproach upon their own head. The reproach that they bring in on us, let it be turned on them and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. This is mild. He says, give them for a prey in the land of their captivity. He says, hear, O God, hear this. And verse 5. I want you to notice the word hear, O God, because you have to say it. You have to give permission for certain things to happen. He says, and cover not their iniquity. Don't cover their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. This is getting into dangerous territory. God, let them not experience forgiveness. In other words, let them not experience mercy from your presence. They are trying to block destinies. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. They've provoked thee. Understand that everything that comes against you is really against God. Get it? Whatever is trying to stop you to fulfill your destiny is actually trying to rob God of his faithfulness. We sang, great is thy faithfulness. Where is the faithfulness of God when you are not fulfilling your mandate, when you are struggling with your health, struggling with your finances, struggling with your family, struggling with your relationships, struggling with your education, struggling with your profession, struggling with whatever it is that you are supposed to have the ease of God to accomplish? Because you see, child of God, God has given you a mind. There are no slow-minded people on the planet. We only use maybe the best of all of us uses maybe about 10% of their brain capacity. And with 10%, if we've accomplished what we've accomplished, going out to Mars. Come on. Can you imagine what God has for you? There are children that may be autistic, but they are great musicians, great artists. Because something is wrong somewhere doesn't mean that you're not great somewhere else. God has a plan for your life, for my life. It's called greatness. Every child of God is called to be great. But destiny blockers come in and try to impede progress. Let us look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is an area we read from the king's presentation, 2 Kings, about this particular situation of Sennacherib. But these are blockers. It says, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. This is the plan of the enemy, to win for himself whatever it is that you are supposed to be. To rob you, strip you of your destiny so that he can run your life and control. To dumb you down so that he can have power over your life. Verse 2. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, verse 3, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. These are destiny helpers. They helped him. These princes helped him. He says, so there was gathered much of the people together. Go back to verse 3. Watch this. Watch this. This is important. He took counsel with his princes and his mighty men. Plan to stop the waters that were outside the city so that Sennacherib cannot tap into those water and enrich himself and hydrate himself and his animals. They blocked everything so that it stayed within city limits. And Bible goes on in verse 4. So there was gathered much people together. How was that gathered together? Because every prince and every mighty man spoke to their neighbors, spoke to the people that they had influence over. This is the key for church growth, actually. That you know something and you share with those that you have influence with. And by so doing, you become a destiny helper. You have information and you know a church where you're hearing the word of God that will encourage you and help you and help others fulfill their destiny, but you are not doing anything to help. You are positioning yourself as a destiny blocker, not as a destiny helper. The Bible says they stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? 5. Also, he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. Made darts, those are missiles, in his particular day, in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, verse 7, be strong and courageous. This is the spirit of a destiny helper. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves. They rested themselves. This morning we talked about the spirit of idolatry, how it happens when you are not in your rest, in your Sabbath in God. They rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. After this, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish, and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? What do you trust in? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of king of Assyria? Had not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? What is he saying? He's saying the fact that Hezekiah eradicated the presence of idolatry, eradicated those high places, eradicated all these multifaceted ways of worshiping, that he was doing it against the only true God. Verse 13. Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? Fighting words. Now therefore let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? The belittling of God. Lying devils. And his servants speak yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. 17. He wrote also letters, but this was going to be his downfall. He wrote letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of mine hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of mine hand. What was the purpose of this? This scam. To generate fear. Child of God, you are not called to fear. It is the enemy of your soul that is going to be very, very afraid. By the time we are finished tonight, you will understand why the devil and his cohorts need to be very, very afraid. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. That's the reason. They want to take the city, so they have to generate fear. And for the enemy to be able to successfully accomplish anything in your life, he has to generate that spirit of fear. And the word of God says, God has not given to you, neither has he given to me, the spirit of fear. What has he given to us? The spirit of love, his power, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. That's what God has given to you. But they wanted the people of God to be afraid so that they can take the city, take the families, take their finances, take their health. Whatever it is that the enemy is doing, he's trying to do to accomplish one thing: take what belongs to you so that you cannot fulfill your destiny. But the devil is a defeated liar. He's a scam artist. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, we not only expose him, but today, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we declare war on the devil's war. And it's not going to be funny. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent, praise God, The Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. He cut off the head. Now, if they're going to have an army, they're going to have to retrain people that don't have any idea about what they're doing. Because God went straight for the mighty men of valor, leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. He still had a big army. 185,000, 2 Kings tells us, were wiped out one night. And when he was coming to the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels, his own children, slew him there with the sword. And the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. God guided them from every side. He saved them not only from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, other enemies. And finally, 23, it says, and many, praise God, many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem. The people responded with their giving. And presents to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Praise the Lord. Now, are you ready to go nuclear? Oh my God. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7, while he was mouthing off, God said, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Not here. He's going to die in his own land. And verse 15 says this. 2 Kings 19, 15. He says, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord God and said, O Lord God of heaven, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. In short, God, you are the man. You are the God. You are the it. You are not these guys. You are it. And that's a position that you've got to stand from, recognizing to whom you belong. While the enemy is trying to tear you down, trying to lie to you through social media, through the media, through whatever, remind yourself of whom you belong, to whom you belong. You belong to the God who is alone God all by himself. The God who's made the heavens and the earth. He is in charge. Psalm 109. It's going to get hot. It's going to get really, really hot. A disclaimer. Don't use this prayer casually. Don't use it casually. This is like a nuclear bomb. This is when everything else is not getting the attention of the enemy, that's when you bring this one out. And you release this and it blasts everything up. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. Understand that. He's the God of your praise. The place you start with this is in a place of worship. And you're saying to God, hold not your peace. Don't slow down now. Because I've had it. I've had it. And why is he inspired to come to this place where he says, I've had it? Because God himself has had it. He's had it. He's fed up with it. And he said, I need somebody to give me some word. Verse 2. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. They are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. 6. It begins to roll. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. He says, this guy, whoever this child of Satan is, that's messing with me, trying to stop me from fulfilling my destiny, betraying and a traitor to my life, lying consistently, he says, set thou a wicked man over him. In other words, if he's at work, he gets a bad, wicked boss. And you don't want a wicked boss. They will drive you crazy. He says, set Satan, an adversary, at his right hand. Let all he sees from this day on be trouble. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Whether he was not to be condemned, let him be condemned. And let his prayer become sin. If he prays, let his prayer become sin. are you getting ready for this? God, he says, if he opens his mouth to pray, let that prayer become sin. No matter how good the prayer is, let it become sin. Wow. Oh, it's getting good. It's going to get hot. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. This is what happened to Judas. He hung himself, and another took his office. Ah, the innocent. It says, let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Is this in the Bible? It's in the Bible. This is a prayer that goes against people and entities, governments, or whatever they are, that stand against the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life. Let his children be continually vagabonds. What? And beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Wow. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. And let the stranger spoil his labor. I don't know if anybody wants to be in that, fall into this category. I told you it was nuclear. This is a big nuclear bomb. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. In other words, everything around him, let everything fall apart. And nobody to help him. Neither let there be any to to favor his fatherless children. This is generational. Why? You're trying to block the destiny. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let these people that thought they were whatever blot out their name. Let them be like garbage. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. What? And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Oh my. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. You know, there are people that give themselves so much to the devil after being warned over and over and over and over and again, who do not respond. I thank God for his word. Say, is this also in the New Testament? Just wait, come in. Because that he remembered not to show mercy. First thing. He remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. He didn't come alongside to help. He was not a destiny helper. He was just there to destroy. 17. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Let blessing be far from him, and let cursing come upon him. He loves it, let it come to him. As he clothed himself with cursing like us with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Wow. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let it squeeze him. And 20. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. So let that be their reward. Talking about nuclear. Talking about an explosion. There you go. This prayer of David is one that blows everything apart for the enemy. God says that David was a man after his own heart, not only because he sang good songs, praise songs, worship songs, but because he knew how to line up with God concerning a matter. Because God does nothing in the earth, nothing. He does nothing in the earth except he first reveals to his servant, the prophets. And then he kicks into action. God calls us to patience. God calls us to mercy. God calls us to forgiveness. God calls us to all of those things. But when destinies are at stake, and there is nothing more at stake than the salvation of God's people. If God has somebody in Congo that I need to minister to, and somebody in Brussels that I need to minister to, and somebody in Egypt that he wants me to minister to, but I am not able to fulfill it because of you, and because of you, those people are going to get lost, I will pray the nuclear prayer. Because their souls are dependent on me fulfilling my mandate. Because when this prayer is prayed, everything that is in the pathway clears out. And purpose is established. But the man of God continues to pray. And he begins to pray the prayer of blessing, because this is not about just binding the strong man so you can spoil his house. It's also for you to proclaim the blessing of God upon your life. He says, "But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, for your name's sake." This is not about me. You see, this prayer here is not about you. If you're praying this prayer because of you, you are being vengeful. And God does not cooperate with that. If it's just about you, you're on your own. But when you can identify that you are a person of purpose, and this is what God has assigned you to do, and you're going to do it, and the enemy is coming there to block you from accomplishing it, then you pray this prayer. Nehemiah prayed it. Hezekiah prayed it. He says, but do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver me. Why do we need mercy? Because it's not because we are so perfect. We're asking for God's grace to step in. 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I need help. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shook their heads. They look at me and say, "Loser." But I'm not a loser. It's because of that adversary. Help me, O Lord, my God, and save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, has done it. You wipe them all out and bless me. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, as Sennacherib was, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. And 31, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor, not Satan, God, to save him from those that condemn his soul. This is a prayer that is prayed when you know that the adversary is not just trying to stop you, who is trying to stop the purposes of God concerning your life. Josiah or Joash, this morning, we talked about Joash and how he aligned with the word of God and how he began to destroy all the strongholds of the enemy, knocking one thing after the other out of the way, shattering the strongholds of the evil one, bringing their purposes to naught. And God is saying the same thing to us today, that he is ready to take on the enemy of your soul. I want to look at 2 Kings 23. I'm going to take it up from about verse 15 for the interest of time. In this particular passage, we hear the scriptures declaring about how things were crushed to dust, reduced to nothing. That is the action of Psalm 109 that we just read. It says, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. Go on. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mound and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. 17. And he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of God which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Now, understand that Bethel here, yes, it means a house of God, but they had polluted it. And now they were doing crazy stuff in there. And the Bible says, and he said, let him alone, let no man move his bones. So they left his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. 19, and all the house also of the high place that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. 20, and he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. 21, watch this. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Why? Because until those strongholds were removed, they could not keep the Passover. And they did not have the impact of the Passover. So the destroyer could not pass over them. Let's go on, 22. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. 23. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem, the 18th year. Last week we talked about this 18th year. Over and over again. The 18th year is the year that every destiny blocker must be eradicated. I don't know what it means for you, but I'm telling you right now, by the Holy Spirit, the 18th year is, watch this, 9 times 2. Fruitfulness, fruitfulness. And the enemy is stopping it from you being fruitful. And God says, I've had it. You're going to have a new start. And the Passover was reestablished. Wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, watch this, they were workers with familiar spirits. And the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in a book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. The book of the covenant. It's not going to be same old anymore. When you come into an awareness of who you are in God, and you recognize that what you have been living all these years has been a lie, a dumbed down lie. And God has greater things for you and I. In that place, the grace of God sweeps through and begins to generate a supernatural turnaround for the glory of God and His honor in our lives. Watch this. It says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. But God will do a new thing in our lives. He will have a people. Praise the Lord. God will have a people that will be steadfast in faith and will not be thwarted from the purpose that God has for them. They are focused, aligned with the will of God, the purposes of God, and they pursue God with all they've got. May we be those people. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let me wrap this up this evening. You see, you know that you're a child of purpose when you know that you're pregnant with ideas, pregnant with life, pregnant with the goodness of God, and you're not able to produce it. You know you have destiny blockers. And whether they practice their witchcraft or whatever it is that they practice, familiar spirits are spirits that are very familiar with you. They know everything about you. They know your history. They know where you came from and where you're trying to go. They know everything. They are monitoring spirits. Tonight, we're going to wrap up in just a moment by reading our lives of every entity, spiritual or natural, that stands in the pathway of God concerning your life, my life, our lives, whoever they are, whatever they are strangers to you. And must be estranged from your life, extricated from your life. Hezekiah made a striking statement in 2 Kings 19 and verse 3. he makes this remarkable statement. He said, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring it forth. We've come to a time of breakthrough where we should be doing extraordinary things, but there's no strength. We're limited. We don't have enough people to do it. We don't have enough resources to do it. We don't have enough money to do it. We don't have enough talents to do it. We don't have enough whatever. Whatever it is that is called to be your strength, to bring forth vision. Have you ever been in a place you have this amazing idea and you look and there's no way you can do it because you don't have the resources to do it? Why did you have the idea? Did God give you that idea to torment you? Did he give you that great idea to just cause you to be depressed? No. They are destiny blockers. And they must be removed. Or you stay exactly where you are 50 years from now. Nothing to show for it. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, we read these words. See, everything God says and everything about this message today, this morning and again this evening is this. Listen, this is the situation. Repent. Huh? Repent. If you are a destiny blocker, repent. Turn from your wicked ways, because the fire is about to fall. The word of God says, for our God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. In Luke 12 and verse 5, Luke 12 and verse 5, it says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed, this is God now speaking, Jesus says, fear him who after he had killed, think only the devil is a killer? No, God kills too, if you're going to stop destinies. Had power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him, fear God. What is missing in the church? Fear. But fear is about to come back. But the kind of fear that will cause people to be reverential towards God and not mess around and fool around. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll take it up from verse 1 through 5 or so. I'll take it from verse 1. Verse 5 is where I want to end. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. In other words, you've trumped the unbelievers that one should have his father's wife. This is a guy who boldly, in the midst of the people, goes and he grabs his father's wife. Wow. And you are puffed up. And not rather mourned that you all this mess is going on. That he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. You did not even just excommunicate him. Well, I guess It's the 21st century. Well, everyone to his own ways. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and my spirit. Says, I'm there with you. Oh, well, Paul, you're way over there. No. Paul says, no. I'm there with you. Right there. By spirit, I'm there. In the congregation with you. And I want you to do the right thing now. To deliver such as one unto Satan. Deliver him up to Satan. Let Satan stand at his right hand. David said. Why? For the destruction of the flesh. We're not talking about eternal damnation here. We're talking about dealing with issues. And the idea is get them to that place where they begin to cry out to God. When you start seeing things falling apart all around you, you should cry out to God. I know why this is happening. Man of God, this is what I did. I've been resisting you. I've been blocking you. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I was speaking about you badly, and all these things are happening in my life because of what I've been doing. Please pray for me. Are you ready to repent? Yes. Are you going to do it again? No. Okay. Then I can pray for you. That the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is still interested in saving people. But if you're going to be a destiny blocker, sorry, it's not good news for you. Because it just takes one person to pray. God, avenge me of my adversaries. And it's lights out. Don't be on the wrong side of this thing. You don't want to be on the wrong side. For every son and every daughter of God, every human being was created for a purpose, for a reason. Don't twist the plan of God for their lives. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. Your days of trouble have begun. For God shall have a people that are unstoppable. The representations of God in the earth manifest, sons of the Most High God. Be manifest, show forth the glory of God, and let the satanic agenda not just be dialed down, let it be wiped off, so that the Lord God will reign over his people. Rise with me wherever you are. The blast of God has gone forth. And the blast that went forth for Sennacherib was to help him stop, but he refused to stop. And so God had to do the nuclear. The blast this morning or this evening or whatever time you're watching has gone forth. It's a warning. and those that take heed to this warning will experience the mercy of God, and God will use them. But when people choose not to follow the pathway of God, as Alexander and others that resisted Paul, it was not good. So I'm going to declare today, in the mighty name of Jesus, that where repentance is possible, for God, you see all things, you know all things, you know the past, the present, and the future. You know the going outs and the coming ins of every individual. Where repentance is possible, and where repentance is seen as viable, when repentance is known as an action that will be taken, we ask, O God, for mercy. But where it is not possible, where you know, God, that they will not change, they will not stop, we apply right now by the authority of your word. This nuclear. We ask, O God, that whatever needs to be eradicated so that your divine purpose may be fulfilled, be acted on. Arise, O God, and let all your enemies be scattered, that your faithfulness, O God, may be known in all the earth, that your word is truth. You, God, who has spoken prophetically over the lives of your sons and your daughters, that the prophetic word will be made manifest, because all the resistance to the prophetic declaration is eradicated. In humility before your throne, we ask, O God, that you do what you got to do so that your name is exalted in all the earth. And all of God's people together in agreement said, in Jesus' name, yes and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I know that this word, it's not a light word. It's not the kind of message I want to bring to the people of God. But something's got to happen. So every resistance got to go. What I'm sharing with you today, I've experienced. It's hard to talk about these things, but I've seen people cut off, like within days. Because of their plans, and God showed it, and I said, no more. And within days, dead. So it's not something I take lightly, because I know what the cost of it is. After you've explored every possibility before God, sought God, is there any other way to solve this problem? And God says, no. You say, okay, God, I release them. There are some people that just will not listen, and they want to destroy every other person, not just your life, but the lives of other people that are linked, interlinked to your life. And because you are not where you're supposed to be, they cannot be where they are supposed to be. You see, this prayer is for the namesake of the Lord God Almighty. And we ask God to do the right thing. Will the God of the whole earth not do right? Yes, He will. Well, at this time, we will share in communion together. First communion, you may say, was at the Passover. And how right and proper for us to share in communion today. As we declare, God, I am going to fulfill my destiny. And anything that wants to stop me from fulfilling that destiny, eradicated. The Lord took our place so that we can know salvation. Tonight, may the saving grace of God come upon you. And may you know peace, which passes all understanding. This is the body of the Lord. It's broken for us so that we don't get broken. Shed His blood so our blood not be shed. He's our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our peace. Take of this body and eat in remembrance of the Lord and let Him go to war for you. This is a cup of redemption. The cup of deliverance, the cup of blessing. As we take off this cup, we're reminded of the goodness of God. And we say, God, let me fulfill my destiny in you. Take off this cup and drink in Jesus' name. May the faithfulness of the Lord be manifest in all of our lives. One of these days, as the Lord gives us release, we're going to share about the timings of God. And the breakthroughs that are possible because of it. But hear this. No matter how hard the enemy tries to stop you in terms of timing, God is well able, and I like the word, the self-made word, speedify, so that you be right where you ought to be at the right time. Delay is not denial. Whatever it seems like you have lost in the past is this day being restored unto you. That means it's going to come Speedily, effortlessly. One of the statements that God made while He was speaking judgment on Sennacherib, He makes this statement. He says, the first year, you're going to have your food from that which just grows naturally. And the second year, it's going to be the same, from the seed of that which grew naturally. And then on the third year, you're going to sow. In other words, God says, I'm going to make things easy for you. For the trouble that you've been going through, I'm going to make things easy. Things are just going to flow. I say amen to that, don't you? God, ease up things for me in my life. And then, when it's time for me to do my part, again, may I be ready to do it, because I have already been refreshed, renewed, restored, and made every way whole. Amen and amen. Well, before we go, be reminded that this Thursday, and we're going to have our Wednesday regular Bible study on Wednesday, but Thursday starts a new conference. It's the Arise and Be Healed Conference. And our guest speakers are Bishop Simeon Oker and Warren Hunter. These two men of God are going to be ministering to us. And of course, Mama and I will also be ministering during this conference. And I'm believing God for some supernatural workings of grace. God has been systematically leading us one step after the other. And every step is a miracle, and I'm expecting God to do extraordinary things in all of our lives. And do not forget, be reminded now, it's time for you to give a special offering unto the Lord. Amen? Let's roll the video while the people get themselves ready to give their offering, and then I'll pray with everyone before we are dismissed this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for all my destiny helpers. I speak your word of blessing upon every single one of them, wherever they are. And I ask, oh God, that the destiny helpers that must help them be in the right place at the right time to do the right things. Lord, oh God, that those destiny helpers come and help them. Let everyone help the other. And as we're interlinked together, may things become easier and easier and easier for every one of us, so that no one is overburdened, no one is overstressed, no one is put in a place where they are overly pressured. But that, Lord, oh God, that everyone in their right place are doing the right thing, fulfilling their mandate. And as they do so, may we all flourish together, prosper together. I speak the word of blessing upon every destiny helper. I bless everyone that's supporting this ministry with their time, with their talents, with their offerings, with their finances, with their relationships and influence. Lord God, I bless every single one of them. Surprise them, surprise them, surprise them. Enlarge their coast. And Lord God, may your people, just like the people of Israel or Judah did, bringing in the harvest at the time of Passover, bringing in the blessings to the house of God. May your people be able to bring their special gifts, not only to their house, but to the prophet. In Jesus' name, We call it Sudan. Amen and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Remember, God has great things in store for you. It's a new day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good night. Love you. If you're on Facebook and YouTube and whatever platforms you may be listening from, be blessed of the Lord. At this time, I will turn on to those that are on our Zoom conference line.